and chapter 7. Acts and chapter 7, where we read of steadfast faith and stiff necks or stubborn men. It was midwinter in 320 AD. 40 men, Roman soldiers, stood naked on a frozen lake. The emperor Licinius had ordered the military to make sacrifices to the Roman gods. 40 men of the famed 12th Legion had refused. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament, they would not worship foreign gods. They were Christians, and they were ready to stand and defy Caesar's orders. You can have our weapons, you can have our strength, you can have our bodies, but our hearts and our allegiance belong to Jesus Christ, they said. And so they were stripped and sent out onto the ice to renounce Christ or die. And they huddled together and sang, but the cold and exposure gradually overcame them. At last, one remaining soldier struggled ashore, having lost his courage. The officer who was in charge of the detachment of guards had been watching and was greatly moved by what he saw and by the soldier's firm witness. And confessing Christ himself, he removed his own clothes and walked out onto the ice to take the soldier's place. By morning, there were 40 bodies on the ice, men who had stood firm for Christ, even unto the death. And we find something like that here in this passage of the book of Acts and chapter 7 with this man, Stephen. Stephen is drawing to the end of his message here in this chapter. In verse 51, he says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who, having received the law by the direction of angels, have not kept it." He's drawing near the end of his message. He's reviewed before them something of God's dealings with the nation and the people of Israel, the dealings of God with their forefathers. And he applies that message there in that verse 51 following. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised people, you never listen to God's word. You never listen to the Spirit. You always resist." And we know where this story is going to end, don't we? Because we're familiar with this passage of the scripture. It's going to end in death and glory. We see here the steadfast faith of Stephen. We admire his boldness, the way he speaks in those words there to the whole of the Jewish council. But it ends badly for him, doesn't it? They killed the Son of God. What difference if they should take and kill one of his servants? And so the faithful deacon is martyred for his faith. In verse 57, they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord, cast him out of the city, and stoned him. But Stephen is received up into heaven, isn't he? In verse 55 and 56, he sees heaven, as it were, opened, and the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, standing at the right hand of the Father in the heavens. And the essential point here is Stephen's steadfast faith, his firm faith in the Son of God and in the message that he had received and been commissioned to go and to preach to others. Stephen had this firm, this bold faith. He loved not his own life, even unto the death, like those Roman soldiers who had gone out onto the ice. But I want you to notice at the very end of verse 16, Stephen cries out with a loud voice, asking the Lord not to charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He fell asleep. It's such a peaceful expression, isn't it? Such a loaded expression in these particular circumstances. And it's meant to reassure us. It's meant to indicate to us that, in fact, it didn't turn out badly for Stephen at all. That's the way it seems. They take him out of the city and they stone him to death. How much worse could it get? But in fact, it doesn't turn out badly for Stephen. He who loses his life for my sake, said Jesus, he shall find it. And this is Stephen's experience. At least on two occasions, Jesus spoke about sleep in relation to death. We heard briefly one of them this morning. In relation to Jairus' daughter, you know the story very well, how Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, his young daughter, about 12, was very, very ill. And turning to Jesus as his last hope and last resort, he pleaded with him to come and heal his young daughter. But his daughter died. And nevertheless, Jesus went with him back to his house. And in Matthew 9:24, arriving at the house, Jesus said to those that were there, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. The word is a very strong word, that they derided him and laughed him to scorn. It was so obvious. A blind man on a galloping horse could see that the girl was dead. And yet Jesus, coming into the room, says, "She's not dead, but sleeping." They knew death. But then Jesus had an alternative, a different perspective on all of these things. So radical, so different is what Jesus sees to what we see. The other occasion was the occasion of Lazarus, his friend. We heard about that this morning among the children. A friend of Lazarus who became ill, and instead of going to heal him, Jesus seemed to wait around, carrying on his business until message came that his friend Lazarus had died. And by the time that Jesus got back to Bethany, to his friend's two sisters, the man had been buried and laid in the grave for several days. That didn't deter Jesus. Going to the tomb and taking the stone away, he commanded Lazarus to come forth. He'd fallen ill. He had died. But Jesus said this had happened all for God's glory. In fact, he told his disciples in John 11 and verse 11, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." And he went, and he woke him up from out of death and brought him back. Similar thoughts attached to the patriarch David. In Acts 13:26, we read concerning David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers. Physical death doesn't seem to register with the Son of God. It doesn't seem to deter him from what he wants to do. It just doesn't seem to register in his thoughts at all. They fell asleep. These are such beautiful words, aren't they? They take the sting out of death entirely. And they display to us the tender mercy of a loving God and the power of God and the power of the Son of God and of the gospel. With only a word, he's able to bring men back from death as if they were sleeping. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, whether it's lost in death, or whether they are lost and made strangers from God because of sin. Jesus can reach beyond the grave. He can reach beyond the power and the work of sin in upon our lives, which is the reason why we die in the first place. Death is but a sleep to the living God. And you see what steadfast faith does here in relation to this man, Stephen. As we read of him being taken out and stoned, we see his faith puts an entirely different perspective on things, doesn't it? Faith puts an entirely different perspective on life and the world and everything, even upon death itself. And not only does steadfast faith see the world differently, and it does, on a morning like this, as we look out of our windows and the sun is shining brightly in upon us from very early in the morning, those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately our spirits rise up and give thanks to the Lord for such a beautiful day given to us. And we see his hand in everything and in all that happens. Notice in Stephen's sermon, his sermon has been about God and God dealing with Israel in their history. Even history is subject to the hand of God. And history has a different perspective because of the way that God deals with his people. It doesn't just unfold. It is all directed by God. And so we see that steadfast faith has a different perspective on things. It sees the world differently. It even sees death differently. When he had cried out with a loud voice, he fell asleep. That's a very important phrase. It comes, doesn't it, in very strong contrast to the situation, to the horrific scene that's happening all around this man, Stephen. There are few things more disturbing than a man stoned to death and killed by the violence of stoning. And yet in the midst of all this horror, that little phrase, he fell asleep. And so Luke's words, they lift us out of the immediate and the apparent horror. They lift us out of that situation and into spiritual realms. They lift us into the place where faith operates, into the realms of God, who is almighty and all-powerful, because we need to understand the view from heaven. Death is but asleep. And we see in this man Stephen and in his words, in his steadfast faith, we see God who is the living God. Look in verse 55. Stephen, gazing into heaven full of the Holy Spirit, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, who had been crucified but was alive. We see an omnipotent God. Revelation 1:18 says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. The Son himself has slept the sleep of death and awoken from it, never to die again. And steadfast faith puts a whole new perspective on death and on everything. True faith, the kind of faith that Stephen has here, confers true life. Jesus Christ is a Savior who saves men unto everlasting or eternal life. God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of those who are alive. He is the God of the living. In heaven, right at this moment, are the living saints, men like Stephen, who had this firm faith in God. Jesus came and has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. And we see this steadfast faith that Stephen has. He believes in all of these things. For a man like Stephen, with a faith like he has, death is not the end. It's the doorway into eternal and everlasting life. Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, he says in verse 56, ready to receive him into the heavens. When the beggar Lazarus dies, not the Lazarus we've just been talking about, but the other Lazarus, when he dies, he's gathered to the bosom of Abraham. He's died, but he's alive, and he's gathered to the bosom of Abraham. When the faithful patriarchs died in the Old Testament, they're gathered to their fathers and to their people. They're not just left gathering dust and mouldering in the grave. When Jesus himself died, he committed himself into God's hands. Steadfast faith puts a different perspective even upon death. Stephen had nothing to fear And so boldly and fearlessly he speaks to these men, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Spirit. Why will you not listen to the message of God, to this gospel that offers eternal and everlasting life through faith in Jesus Christ?" Stephen's faith is a sustaining faith, isn't it? It's sufficient to keep him steadfast and firm, even in the face of death. He knows that he belongs to God. He knows that God is in control, even in this situation. Like David, he can say, can't he, "The Lord is on my side. What can man do to me?" And so with boldness, he speaks out. And this is not an isolated case, this fearlessness, this boldness, even in the face of death. When the Apostle Paul himself faced death, he was able to declare in those remarkable words in Philippians 1, verse 21, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And Paul was in prison facing the possibility of life or death. He didn't know what the outcome would be. And he speaks of himself as being hard-pressed. He doesn't know which one to choose. Should I choose life or should I choose death? Because in Christ, if I die, it's all gain to me. Now, all this is either bravado or crazy talk, or it's real hope. Stephen had firm faith, steadfast faith, a real hope. The Christian has a different perspective these things, a sustaining faith. That's why, again, Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55 can cry out, "O death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory?" There is no victory for the grave. There is no sting of death. Faith puts a whole different perspective on these things. To the modern world, death is something which is shocking, isn't it? It's the mother of all tragedies. The worst possible of things that could happen to us. The end of everything. Go straight to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect £200. It's a catastrophe, isn't it? Something to lock away at the back of our minds. Something to fear. And it's that attitude, isn't it, and response that actually proves the truth of the Bible. The Bible says, the Word of God says in Hebrews 2 and verse 15, it speaks of men, those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Have you ever had the thought, perhaps in the night time, a lot of us wake up in the middle of the night, and when you wake up, of course, you start thinking about all manner of things, don't you? I wonder if you've ever had the thought, "I'd be happy to leave this world right now and go home and be with the Lord." Have you ever had that thought? Or do you fear death? Most or all men do fear death. Our mortal thoughts increase, don't they? As the years pass by, we find ourselves more and more thinking of these things. Well, look at Stephen. Look how he faces the end of his time here in this world. He is able calmly to kneel down, to call upon his Lord, to ask for forgiveness for those who are stoning him to death, and then he falls asleep. Christ can and does remove all fear. Stephen is not afraid. Paul was not afraid when he was languishing in that Roman jail. Jesus himself was not afraid when he was led out bearing his cross to Calvary, where he would be lifted up to die for the sin of the world. He was not afraid. Luke 9:51 says, "Now it came to pass when the time had come for him," that is Jesus, "to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." He could have run away. He could have gone anywhere else. But he steadfastly set his face. He wasn't afraid. Stephen cried out with a loud voice and fell asleep. The word is koimeo. It means to be still, to be calm and to be quiet. Facing death with a steadfast faith, a sustaining faith. And God set his seal upon these things, didn't he? He set his seal upon Stephen's words, on his witness, on his message. It's noticeable here, isn't it, as you read this account, how strikingly similar Stephen's death is to the Saviour's death. They both face dying head on and in faith. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised people," says Stephen. And he must have known what the effect of his words were going to have, especially in verse 55 and 56 when he speaks of the heavens opened and seeing the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. That's reminiscent of something Jesus said, isn't it, when he was on trial. He told the high priest that they would see the Son of Man and the power in the heavens, even God himself. And these words are reminiscent of that. But both were able to face these things in faith. Jesus said, "He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life." And that's not some maniacal disorder whereby you hate your life and everything about this world and everything in it and you wish it was over. That's not at all what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about that clear perspective of faith, whereby men like Stephen are able to be faithful even unto death, even unto the end, come what may. It's the Job factor, isn't it? Even though God slay me, I will still trust in him, in the Lord. Stephen had set his face, like Jesus had set his faith, just like his master and saviour before him. Once again, religious men resort to violence, but they cannot hurt steadfast faith. Nothing can, not even death. And so we see this faith. And we see these stiff-necked men as well, don't we, to whom Stephen speaks. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. You never listen to the word of God. You never listened to his messengers. In fact, you betrayed and murdered the just one. And having received the law, you yourselves have not kept it." Strong words. In fact, Stephen's words appear quite sharp, don't they? Nowadays, we wouldn't dream of saying things like that to people, would we? Because we live in a softly, softly world where there's no blame and no accountability. Stephen isn't mealy mouth. He doesn't mince his words. That's not surprising, of course, because the word of God is a sharp and two-edged sword. And he uses it. "You stiff-necked, stubborn people, you never listen to what God says." You could say the same. How many times have you sat and heard the gospel? Have you come to faith? Have you believed in the Son of God? And if not, well, the word applies to you, doesn't it? You're stiff-necked and stubborn, not believing these things. Jesus himself, speaking to these men, or men very much like them, called them a brood of vipers, didn't he? Matthew 23, verse 33, "Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell?" Now, why did the Son of God say that to these men? Well, it's because he's come to the same conclusion that Stephen has come to here. They just don't hear. They just don't change their hearts or their ways. They prefer their religion to faith, whatever that religion is. But notice Jesus' question at the end of that Matthew 23:33. "How can you escape the condemnation of hell?" he says. How will it end for men and women who are stiff-necked and stubborn, who reject Jesus, who reject the gospel, who refuse to hear these things and to believe? How will it end? Well, there's no doubt, is there, that Jesus himself believed in and proclaimed hell, didn't he? The everlasting punishment of men and women who break God's law, refuse his word, will not receive this gospel, will not believe upon the Son of God. Jesus believed in the reality of hell, didn't he? In fact, he's willing to put his own life on the line because of these things. John 19, verse 17, he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. And there they crucified him. Now, the Son of God was a fool. If heaven is not real and hell is not real, why die if these things are not true? Stephen also was willing to die for the truth of this message, for the truth of the gospel and all that Jesus spoke about. For the fact that men need to come to faith in the Son of God or face everlasting punishment. See, men are willing to die, aren't they, for a cause that they believe to be right. History is full of examples. The Christian church doesn't have a monopoly on men who have become martyrs. But they're not willing to die for something that they know to be a lie. Our experience is, isn't it, that ordinarily men run away from death. Stephen is able to face it boldly because of his faith, because it is true, and these men are being stubborn and stiff-necked in refusing it. Question is, isn't it, what about you this morning? Are you going to be as stiff-necked as these men here? Are you going to be one who is always resisting the Holy Spirit, never listening, never hearing, never receiving or believing what God says? How do you resist the Spirit? Well, look what these men do. It's very clear, isn't it, in verse 57. They, hearing Stephen, hearing these things, they cry out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. You see this in children, don't you? When they're hearing something they don't want to hear, they put their fingers in their ears, la, 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 and they go on, don't they? Grown-ups do this kind of thing as well. When we hear things that we don't want to hear, we shut our ears, don't we? And turn away, or speak more loudly and try and talk the person down. See, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth, the one who bears witness to the Son of God. We notice concerning Stephen, he worked those signs and wonders, didn't he? He didn't do it by himself, he did it by the power of the Spirit, to show that Jesus is the Savior whom God sent into the world. He had that wisdom that these men were not able to resist. It wasn't his own wisdom. It was by the Spirit, so that he could bear witness to the Son of God. Stephen was a man who was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit for only one reason, that he could be the witness of Jesus Christ, witnessing to his death and resurrection, to the truth of the cross, to the truth of the gospel, to the truth concerning the Son of God. But these men did not want to hear, so they put their fingers in their ears and they ran at him, seized him, took him out of the city and stoned him to death. Will you be stiff-necked like this man? You can be stiff-necked either because you won't believe the gospel, or because you won't obey the word, or because you won't listen to the Spirit. These men thought more about their temple than they did about the life of a man. They were willing to put Stephen to death, just as they were Jesus Christ before him. These men thought more about their buildings than what God was building. Remember that accusation that they brought against Stephen? He's spoken about this Jesus of Nazareth who threatened to destroy this temple. The people of God are the temple of God. We thought about that last week. God sent Jesus to find and to save his people, to call them to repentance and faith so that God could come and make his home with us. That's what the gospel is about. It's not about buildings or temples or anything else. Nothing is more important than what God is building. These men thought that their traditions were more important than the commands of God. They'd invented all kinds of rules and regulations and hoops to jump through. But the gospel is very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And God will deliver you from all your sin, and even from death itself. God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And if you refuse, then like these men, you are stiff-necked and stubborn and uncircumcised in heart, resisting the Holy Spirit. Moses said the same thing, didn't he? The Lord will raise up a prophet like me. Him you must hear. This is all about hearing God, isn't it? Sometimes we feel that we don't want to hear what God has to say. We're fearful that he's going to take something away from us, aren't we? And the Lord only pulls down our cherished things in order to give us something better. Faith in the Son of God. Eternal and everlasting life. A welcome into heaven like this man Stephen received. Looking up in verse 56, he saw the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, his Lord, his Savior, his Master, his friend. What will you see when you stand before the living God? Will you see the Savior, one to welcome as a friend, one to welcome you as a friend? Or because of your stiff-necked and stubbornness, will you see the one who is the just judge of all the earth, who must condemn you and send you away to everlasting punishment? Open your eyes, open your ears, open your hearts, and receive this Son of God this morning. Amen. We're going to sing. It's on the screens, forever with the Lord, amen, so let it be. Life from the dead is in that word, 'tis immortality. Here in the body pent, absent from him I roam, yet nightly pitch my moving tent, a day's march nearer home. It's at 8:09 in the books, and it's on the screens.